Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 15th of June, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. Do not adjust your podcatchers. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy NFTs Day.
It's not Friday. That's why I didn't want anybody to freak out. It's fine. Andrew's here because we are going to talk about another topic. Not security, but something else Andrew knows a fair amount about and has deigned to allow me to ask him a bunch of noob questions about it. So we're here to talk about a little bit about blockchain and cryptocurrency, which is something you've heard a lot about in the news lately. So I kind of want to start, Andrew, with the basics on sort of what cryptocurrency is.
Yeah, so first of all, I am still a kind of a noob in this space myself. So if I do get something wrong, please email us and yell at us or
yes,
yell
please.
At me about
well,
it.
I was going to say, Andrew looks forward to your letters at observations at macobserver.com. But please do make sure if we do get something incorrect and you notice it, please let us know.
Right. So it all starts with this type of technology called the blockchain. I forget when this kind of these ideas were first formulated. I think maybe as far back as the 90s. But an anonymous person known as Satoshi Nakamoto, he was the one who created kind of the blockchain as we think of it today, in reference to a cryptocurrency. So this person created Bitcoin. I think it was around 2008 as a form of digital currency. It's decentralized. And I think the general theory is that he created it as a kind of a reaction to like the Great Recession, and which was also in 2008, I think. I think it, like the idealistic version of cryptocurrency is it's just a way for people to have more control over their own money as opposed to, you know, banks using it to wreck the economy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was sort of a way to take some of the power of that away from, like, from what I've seen, the power of that away from like a small number of companies and sort of democratize that piece of it. That's the whole point of blockchain, because blockchain, nobody knows like what's in it, right? I mean, that's sort of the point of that. Like, it's a verification mechanism, but like I can't open it and read it as like a human readable piece of information.
You can. So the thing with the blockchain, I think this is one of the wrong ideas people get about blockchain and cryptocurrency, because you know, in the early days there was a lot of bad press about it where criminals are using crypto and it's untraceable to try to get around from the government. So there are some types of, so first of all, Bitcoin is one type of cryptocurrency.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of them. Some of them may be more private than others, but by its nature, a blockchain like Bitcoin is transparent. So if you know my public wallet address, you can see that on the internet and see all the transactions I've made.
Okay.
So it is pretty transparent. Maybe my personal information isn't directly linked to it, but you can still see those transactions.
Okay.
So in some way, it is traceable.
Right. Well, I thought the blockchain itself was like an encrypted thing that has been sort of democratized. But like if I were to open up some record or whatever on the blockchain, that I wouldn't be able to read that. It's just sort of because it's sort of stored everywhere. It's one of those sorts of things. So I thought it was that.
Yeah,
maybe
so,
I'm completely wrong.
Well, let's quickly go back and define what the bleep is a blockchain in the first place.
Yes.
It's popularly called a digital ledger. And of course, a ledger is just a collection of like financial accounts that stores their financial transactions. In the old days, it was literally a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
In these days, when it comes to a blockchain. A blockchain is a digital ledger, and it's stored in a peer-to-peer fashion. So, the Bitcoin miners, for example, they all use the software that everyone stores their own version of the blockchain.
Yeah.
And each block or record is chained together through cryptography, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. That's the security part of it. Okay. Each block has what's called a cryptographic hash of the previous block. It contains a timestamp as well as, you know, the transaction data. And that's the security part of it. So if a hacker tries to modify a block in some fashion, that the hash of it will change, right? Like every time you change the hash of every time you change a file, its hash will change.
Right.
But since that hash is stored in the previous block or the block in front of it, you know, that then this new hash, this modified file won't match what was previously stored. And so that's a good way to tell this was changed.
Okay. It does sound interesting. And what I want to do is ask you more questions about that, of course, because we have more to chat about. But right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and tell you about our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is Upstart. And Upstart is a company that wants to help you get ahead on all of the payments that you're making every month. If you have debt that you're trying to clear and those interest rates are really high and all you can swing is the minimum payment, then you're never really getting ahead on those. And Upstart wants to help you change that. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple monthly payment. It's all taken care of online. And the reason they can do this is because Upstart looks at more than just your credit score. So they can offer smarter rates through their trusted partners. You go through a 5-minute online rate check, and you get a rate upfront for a loan that's from $1,000 up to $50,000, and you can receive those funds as soon as one day after accepting. You can find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payment today by going to upstart.com/TDO. It's upstart.com/TDO. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/TDO, and we'd like to thank Upstart for sponsoring the show today. Now, Andrew, one of the things that you can do with Bitcoin or with cryptocurrency, they're not all Bitcoin, you just told me that. One of the things that you can do is you can have a hardware wallet where you can store the cryptocurrency that you own, right? Andrew. So, Andrew, part of what we wanted to talk about today was that there's a thing called a hardware wallet, which is a way that you can store the cryptocurrency. It's not Bitcoin, it's cryptocurrency. You just told me that. The cryptocurrency that you own, you can store it in something called a hardware wallet, right?
Yeah, there are a couple different types of wallet, hardware wallets and software wallets. Most people that I've seen say hardware wallets are a bit more secure, because it just means you have more control over your own crypto that you purchased.
Okay.
So the one that I bought is from a company called Ledger, and the device is called the Nano X. They have a Nano S as well, and it literally just looks like a flash drive.
Okay.
But it has a couple of different things on it for, you know, crypto, of course. Mm-hmm. It has a secure chip on there that sounds to me like the secure element in the iPhone. It's just, hardware security. So I use this. I wrote an article about setting it up and maybe things to look out for if you're buying a hardware wallet in general, because there are more companies than just Ledger. Another popular company name that I've seen is called Trezor. So the main thing I think is you should probably want to buy a hardware wallet directly from these companies instead of trying to buy it on Amazon or eBay, because as Ledger has shared on their website, there have been some scams where maybe someone purchased one on Amazon, and then when you're signing up what's called the recovery phrase for it, like it's like a passcode basically.
Okay.
But This passcode is supposed to be generated from the device itself, but Ledger says there have been some people where they have their 24-word recovery phrase already written down for them, which means, of course, that the person who sold it to them also has that phrase, and they can log into your account and steal your money at any time.
Yeah, that sounds not great. So if you want to buy a hardware wallet, now this is going to be a weird question, but what do you do with that hardware wallet? Is it just another layer of security around the Bitcoin that you own?
Your cryptocurrency is always going to be stored on its respective blockchain. The hardware wallet, like you said, really is just an extra level of security. So with the Ledger wallet, I can like transfer my coins from Coinbase to the wallet because it has a companion app, in this case called Ledger Live. And then from Ledger Live, I can see, you know, my portfolio, how much stuff I have. I can buy and sell, and another action called certain coins directly from it. But the thing with a hardware wallet, like I mentioned, that 24-word phrase, it's basically it's a passcode, but it's not tied. Like I said, the coins are still stored on the blockchain. So if I lose my wallet, as long as I still have that phrase, I can buy a new one, set it up with my phrase, and I will regain access to my coins.
And then you get all your stuff back, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's the main thing they say, you know, don't share your phrase with anyone. In the package, it gives you three different cards to write down the 24 words. You should treat it as just a regular backup, you know, store each card in a separate location, like a bank safety deposit box, for example.
Okay.
They also have this interesting product called a crypto steel capsule, which is like storing your words in this like stainless steel, fireproof, waterproof, shockproof container.
Whoa.
If you want to, you know, try to be the most secure. So that's another product you can buy from Ledger.
All right. I just think you should get one of those and put your 1Password emergency kit in it so that you know that it never gets, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to it. That seems like a good
plan. Maybe you could. Yeah.
That's a good plan.
But setting it up was pretty easy. You have to create an 8-digit PIN. You write down your private key, the recovery words, and then like you just follow the instructions in the app.
Okay.
And then at the end, it will give you a short quiz with three questions just to test your knowledge of what's going on. Like, for example, it just reminds you, your coins are stored in the blockchain. Please don't share your password with anyone, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And so I found the process pretty easy.
Okay. Interesting. And so another thing that you mentioned a couple of times there is cryptocurrency that you have purchased. So you can buy it, because I know we hear a lot about mining cryptocurrency, mining Bitcoin, but you don't have to mine it to have it. You can put money into it, and it sort of works like the stock market, right? Like you can put whatever amount of money into it you want to, but then the amount of value that has fluctuates, sort of like a stock price, right?
Yeah, the prices are always going up and down depending on external factors.
Of course.
But you can The Ledger wallet does have two providers from which you can buy your coins. So far, I haven't had any luck with them. Okay. So right now, I've still been just buying coins from Coinbase.
Okay.
I like that because you can set an account up with them. You can connect your bank account directly to your Coinbase account and just start buying coins and selling them instantly.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I will remind people at the end, now that we're at the end of the show, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you for the explanation, Andrew. If you have more questions about this, or if we've completely gotten something wrong, please let us know at observations@macobserver.com, at TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So, Andrew, as always, thanks so much for coming by today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Don't freak out, everybody. It is Tuesday. It's not Friday. We'll figure. I know I'm throwing everybody off their game today, but it'll be okay. We'll all get through it together. I am your host, Kelly Gamano. I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.